Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Turkey, turkey, turkey! It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century, from I Love Lucy all the way to News Radio. I'm your TV guy, Brett White. I'm also a senior reporter, producer for Decider.com, and I am not juror number 5, which I almost became. Say hello to the turkey croquette, to my turkey fricassee, Ethan Kay. Hi!
Hey, Brett. That was a good one. We are deep in the swings of Thanksgiving season. Halloween season has passed, but we are in the Thanksgiving time. You can tell because I am drinking, instead of drinking my normal water from my McDonald's cup, I am drinking spiced apple cider, which hopefully will be just as good for my voice on a podcast as, you know, regular water. What are you drinking?
Oh, I should try. I mean, I just have spiced cinnamon rum with a diet cherry Pepsi, wild cherry. Well, I mean, it's good. It's just like cherry Coke, but it's Pepsi. I started drinking that, but that's not what I drink. So, you know, we all make choices.
Is it one of those things where it just kind of appeared one day and you said, oh, I ordered Diet Coke and they gave me the Diet Pepsi?
No, I mean, I wanted more choices because I was sick of drinking just either leftover Diet Cokes that Seb never finishes or Coke Zero or Diet Dr. Pepper. And so I was like, what else did we have in the zero, et cetera, range? And ta-da. So I was like, I just want to order whatever the weirdest in that category is. And that's where Diet Pepsi Wild Cherry.
Well, I hope you're enjoying it. I've never been that big of a fan of Pepsi. However, Pepsi does make Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew, and I drink a lot of Diet Mountain Dew.
I bet that it's Mountain Dew that's keeping the PepsiCo afloat.
It just hits different. It's my morning beverage. It's my afternoon beverage. I'm living that gamer lifestyle.
And sitting on your gaming chair, drinking your Darth Maul gaming chair.
Drinking my Mountain Dew, eating my chips.
Well, that was the documentary about the Showbiz Pizza, about the Rockefeller explosion, documentary about that, and like the culture that has arisen around people who now collect the entire animatronic set. Like they hunt them down. And one guy like turned his like carport and like garage into a Showbiz Pizza with an animatronic setup that he like rents out for birthday parties and stuff. But then I think it's this guy. It's been years since I've seen this. But then when they go into his house, it is like empty except for like a Darth Maul flag, like a Pepsi towel as curtains. And like a gaming chair, like gaming furniture. And it's like, man, well, we know where the money's going, baby.
He had to buy that very rare Antioch the Birthday Spider animatronic that drops down from the ceiling when it's someone's birthday. Antioch the Birthday Spider.
That's
what
wild.
A great unused character.
What Halloween, how did Halloween end up playing out?
Halloween ended up so well. Fun behind the scenes fact, I had to get surgery on my hand a couple of weeks back. A benign mass of tissue had to be removed. So they slit down my finger, took it all out, sewed it all up. That's as gross as it's going to get. And they gave me the option. Do you want to get the stitches out on November 1st, which is actually the day after Halloween and my anniversary, or do you want to wait until November 7th? And I'm like, I don't need to wait an entire week. So I scheduled with them to get the stitches out on November 1st, which meant that Megan and Megan's mom, who was visiting at the time, could indulge in our yearly Halloween movie marathon, midnight movie marathon. And then I would just have to, I could sleep for a couple hours, then head in and get the stitches out. So we had about, I want to say about 30 trick-or-treaters, which is kind of lower than it normally is.
Man. The journey.
And then we started at about 11 o'clock. We watched Blair Witch Project, followed by the 1944 Uninvited, because the second one is always the throwback. Third one was Noroi the Curse, which we watched last year and really, really liked. So we wanted to watch it again, followed by Ready or Not, which is that a woman marries into the gaming family who tries to kill her, and wrapped it all up with Cabin in the Woods. So that was a good time. How about you? How was your Halloween?
Do we want the real answer? I mean, depressing because of just the way my brain is working right now. And we didn't. I watched the Paul Lynde Halloween special alone, well, with the Seb, but that's usually my big party I built around that. So that was a bummer. But the Sunday before, I did the Buffy Slayer Fest 98 podcast live show where I got in drag as and read as the part of Giles as Barb. I mean, I got to go out in public as in drag, which is always it's a thrilling experience and also, cumbersome and, I feel like Frankenstein's monster trying to get to and from like rental cars and venues and upstairs. I don't know. And I watched a bunch of movies, but not even, you know, I have my Sam Neill-a-ween.
Yeah, watching Sam Neill.
Got it. But I didn't get to I watched Event Horizon, Omen 3, and In the Mouth of Madness. I did not get to Daybreakers or Possession, but I mean, I watch Possession. I think about that movie every day. So, you know, I don't need.
You watch it in your head every day.
I do. Oh, what a beautiful movie.
Oh, what
about,
a beautiful
about
movie.
Divorce and fucking a tentacle monster from hell?
Well, everybody's got a rebound, you know.
Yeah. And some of them are cosmic Cthulhu beings.
When you fumble one relationship, you never know who the next one's going to be. Sometimes it could be Cthulhu. Cthulhu's a real bad bitch, you know.
Yeah. but now we're in the Thanksgiving emergency state of mind. And
we're trying to watch some Thanksgiving themed films, and I serendipitously you and I have had the conversation, why are there so few 1950s and 60s Halloween specific sitcom episodes? And like in the 60s, in the 50s and 60s, you got Bewitched and you got, you know, Munsters and Addams Family, where they're creepy families but not specifically for Halloween. And I was listening to the Disney History Institute podcast why can't I remember his name right now? Because he's actually fantastic. It'll come.
Gordon Ramsay.
Todd James Pierce. not Gordon Ramsay. Todd James Pierce, and he did an episode about Disney and Halloween, specifically Halloween. Oh. And he gave a background to the history of Halloween. And to sum it up, was. In the 1920s and 30s, Halloween started becoming a thing because more religious organizations were emphasizing All Souls Day, All Saints Day, All Hallows Eve, that kind of thing. So what ended up happening was kids would do mischief. They would break laws. They would prank. And sometimes people would get really hurt. So what organizations, both, you know, civic and religious organizations would do was they would have large parties, big parties with parades and contests and all kinds of things. And as the war ended and more suburbs were being created, those large parties started to kind of move smaller and smaller. They'd be neighborhood parties or eventually trick-or-treating, which you'd go door-to-door. A lot of the times kids would get these, they'd wear costumes at these big parties and they'd get treats and things at the parties. So the way that it linked in with Disney, and I thought was kind of cool, was Halloween had become a thing in California and Canada, but not around the United States. So 1949 comes around, they're doing the movie Ichabod and Mr. Toad, which is the retelling of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, and Bing Crosby's the narrator. And they're going to film a live action segment where he's prepping his kids to go out trick or treating. And then he tells them the story of the Headless Horseman. And they scrap that because they're like, well, we're from California, so we know what trick or treat is. But throughout the country, other people aren't going to know what this trick or treat is. This is 1949. So finally, 1952 rolls around and they release the short Trick or Treat, where Donald's nephews meet up with Witch Hazel and they torture Donald. That was one of the first big times where let's kind of treat trick or treat as normal, as a normal thing that people do, but it's still pretty new. That's 1952. Halloween content throughout the 1950s is still the, well, we don't really know if everybody knows about trick or treat or not, so we're going to stay on the side of let's not do much trick or treat content.
That was a long-winded
explanation, but thank you to Todd James Pierce and the DHI podcast for giving me that information. I thought it was fantastic.
No, I love the history of like the traditions that we have. I'm trying to see now which 1950s Halloween episodes I have actually. So in my database, Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet has one. The Honeymooners has one. Lassie sort of does. And then Lassie and the Real McCoys have one. But Lassie and Real McCoys, I believe, might just be episodes with monsters that aired around Halloween. But the Ozzie and Harriet and Honeymooners ones are, both of the episodes are titled Halloween Party. so I guess they were, you know, doing the adult version. That's 1952 and 1953. So
yeah, it's still kind of like it's not everywhere, but it's starting to become part of the public consciousness.
But then it explodes in the 60s because I have Dennis the Menace, Beverly Hillbillies, Andy Griffith, Addams Family, Bewitched, Monsters, Flintstones, That Girl, like just a,
and
just
that's
a
because
bunch.
And I'd suspect that's because suburbs were huge then, housing developments were ginormous, and that was the easiest way to celebrate Halloween was by trick-or-treating in your neighborhood.
Perfect. I love it.
We talked about Ozzie and Harriet, though, because like,
now, this week, we'll be traveling to November 28th, 1952. Hans Christian Andersen ruled the box office. Not the person, the movie based on the person, starring Danny Kaye. It's in the book parts 1 and 2 by Johnny Stanley topped the charts. And ABC aired The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet episode the day after Thanksgiving. Ethan, you must have seen The Day After Thanksgiving before today.
I did not see an episode of The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet before this episode, but I will point out it did air the day after Thanksgiving in 1952.
It literally did. It was a kind of verisimilitude that we don't see anymore.
It was really good.
And we might never see, because now that everything is streaming and they drop whole seasons at once, all of the modern holiday episodes are unmoored from time and are just part of a batch of 12 that maybe came out in March. And you got to remember in November, oh, wait a second, season 2 of that show I like had a Thanksgiving episode. Ugh, I hate that. And I've only ever seen the other Ozzie and Harriet episode that we did for this podcast, which was Tutti Frutti Ice Cream, which I'm now wondering how many episodes of Ozzie and Harriet are about them getting obsessed with a particular type of food and then trying to find it. I'm 2 for 2.
It was something that everyone could agree on, which is kind of the way that Ozzie and Harriet operated. It was a very non-offensive, show that kind of, it kind of traveled under the ratings radar. It never, it only cracked the top 30 once, and it's 435 episodes.
It's nuts. 14 seasons.
It is the, it is not the longest running sitcom.
It's now Always Sunny, isn't it? But in terms of time elapsed.
Exactly. In terms of number of seasons, but it is the most episodes. If you're not counting The Simpsons, it is the most episodes of a sitcom. And what blows my mind is that they did a radio show before then. They did, I forget how many episodes, 402 episodes.
So much content.
I know, 402 episodes of a radio show before they did the TV show.
This night on Black Friday, 1952, which is probably 40 years before they had the term Black Friday, probably. I don't think that became a thing till like the 90s when people started dying. God, our country. But also on that night, an hour after this episode aired, the radio show aired. And that episode synopsis was Ozzy tries to be a handyman. So that also happened in,
I got to tell you, Ozzy continuity. Nelson was the busiest man in town, because not only did he do the TV show, not only did he do the radio show, he directed the TV show and he wrote the TV show.
It's very Tyler Perry. And I'm kind of wondering how accurate, like, it was like, is it kind of like, I don't know, everyone always says that Steven Spielberg actually directed Poltergeist kind of thing.
I've
like,
heard that.
There was actually like someone who was, While Ozzy's like doing his Ozzy thing on set cameras, you need to be right here, here, and here. We need to get like, I wonder if like stage manager did a little bit more work than usual, maybe.
Possibly. And he had other writers on this too. His brother, Don Nelson, wrote 347 episodes of the show. He also wrote all the Herbie films, the Love Bug films for Disney.
Did he do Fully Loaded?
No, because he was dead. Still is dead. As far as I can tell, still dead.
We keep having Halloweens with the explicit purpose of resurrecting him, and it doesn't hold.
But it was a crazy show, that just the fact that it lasted for so long. The history is that Ozzy Nelson met his wife Harriet on a show called where is it?
Love is Blind. That would be
The Bakers broadcast, because Ozzy Nelson was already a band leader. They met, they got married, because they figured, you know, our solo careers are great, but let's do them together. Wonder Twin powers activate. They started doing the Red Skelton show until he got drafted. Then they started with The Adventures of Ozzy and Harriet in 1944. That went until 1954, 2 years after the TV show aired. And then their children, Ricky and David.
Ricky became a teen heartthrob.
Exactly. Because his dad was like, hey, son, how about you do some of that rock and rolling on the show?
How about you give me all your money? Probably. I actually don't know what their family dynamic was, but I cannot imagine it was healthy.
He put it all into a trust and he got a $50 a month allowance, which he said was not enough, because there was this story that he had to recycle bottles in order to make money to go to a movie with a date.
And we cannot forget Ozzy Nelson's grandsons, Nelson, the hair metal duo. Yeah.
Yes.
From the 80s.
So they initially started the show with a 10-year contract, regardless if they got canceled or not, which is ballsy. You're going to pay me for 10 years, whether or not the show is good. The show ends up going 14 years. The house exterior was the exterior of their real house. The interior of the house was a set, but designed to look like their interior house.
So weird.
It's got to be so weird for those kids being like, we're actors, but we're also playing ourselves. And when we go to work in our house.
Yeah. Like it's almost like Ozzy invented the Real Housewives, or like like a reality TV, like domestic reality TV. Because this is scripted as all those shows, but it's just wild.
It's this Ozzie Nelson was this puppeteer of his whole family. And even when the show ended, he's like, okay, the Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet's over. We're doing a spinoff. It's called Ozzie's Girls. It's two college girls come and live with me in the Nelson house from the sitcom.
Very creepy.
It only lasted one season, but it starred Brenda Sykes, who I learned was the wife of poet musician Gil Scott Heron.
Oh.
Who did Revolution Will Not Be Televised and Whitey on the Moon.
Kevin Bacon, 9 steps between Gunnar Nelson to Gil Scott.
I know. I just download all this stuff in my brain. I'm like, can you believe that all of this happened?
This is all connected. But this week on Must Have Seen TV, we'll be talking about the Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet episode The Day After Thanksgiving, which is the 9th episode of season 1, which is probably like episode 300 total or something crazy. And it was written by Ben Gershman, Bill Davenport, Don Nelson, and Ozzie Nelson, and directed by Ozzie Nelson. And here's how Freevee describes the episode. Coming home from Aunt Ellen's without Thanksgiving leftovers, Ozzie and the boys crave more turkey. Even, how accurate is that descripti?
That is the whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
Actions happen, events happen, locations are changed. It's all about the hunt for leftovers.
Now, I will say an overarching statement I will make about The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet is that of all the 1950s sitcoms, I love Lucy. I love the most. But then, like, I really appreciate that The Adventures of that Ozzie Nelson was like, I want to do a family sitcom. We're not going to learn shit. I'm not here to teach anyone anything. I don't give a shit about these kids being cute. I'm getting the funny lines and we're just goof. Like, this is a 24-minute Saturday Night Live sketch. Like, and that's also what Tutti Frutti Ice Cream was. And I have a lot of respect for that level of commitment, especially because every other sitcom at this time really felt just so syrupy.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Make Room for Daddy. I'm thinking like Donna Reed.
Father Knows Best. Leave It to Beaver later on.
Yeah.
But like, this is not cute. It ain't cute.
In fact, if anything, he's showing off the sin of gluttony.
And just reveling in it.
Just talking about how much he wants turkey. And his kids are like, we're so full, but is there any turkey? We could get some turkey. And that, like, yes, they have a game and they hit it hard.
It is. And it's also funny, like, how, you know, Seinfeld always proclaims to be the first, you know, it's the show about nothing. First show about, it's like, I think Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, from the two episodes I've seen, is the original show about nothing. Because, like, and that's not a bad thing. It's just like, there's no plot. There's no character advancement. It's great.
You know what it is? The way that it's written and the way it's performed, it's a radio show. It's dramatized. The speeches are long. They are punctuated by jokes. The audience laughs at the right point. You could turn off the video and just listen to the audio, and it would make exactly about as much sense. I think maybe 95% are just spoken gags.
Yeah. And it's like there are a lot of superfluous like sets. Like later on when Aunt Ellen calls, like we go to her house. Like, yeah, we see her on the phone. It feels very like, well, if this is a TV show, we need to be going places. She needs to go to the butcher. Like, you know.
So the way it starts, we open with the opening introduces the cast. It is sponsored by Hot Point Appliances.
Which Mary Tyler Moore was the spokesmodel for. She was the Hot Point elf, I do believe.
She was not in this episode.
No.
But it starts the morning after Thanksgiving. The family has been to Aunt Ellen's and they are feeling so full that they do not want eggs. They do not want cereal with fruit on top. David does not want oatmeal, which all of these things Harriet was just ready to make for
him. She had like, it's like continental breakfast going on at the Ozzie and Harriet household. I also really do like that Harriet got jokes in this.
She got most of the jokes.
I think probably must see a performance. Let's be honest here. So I also appreciate that, because even at this time, the woman's there to just have breakfast ready and then wash the dishes. After everyone has their breakfast of orange juice, and then she washes three cups, and she's like, well, breakfast dishes are done.
Yeah, that's all they wanted. I've never had the urge to drink orange juice after being completely full the night before from, you know, a large banquet kind of meal. But I get the feeling that this turkey was like 50 pounds. And and every turkey at the time was 50 pounds, because everyone's talking about there's leftovers. Mm-hmm. Aunt Ellen has so many leftovers that she could make this, and then she's going to make this, and then she's going to make that with the leftovers. There's just so many things you can do with these massive Cold War turkeys.
So what that reminded me of, and what this entire episode reminded me of, is, so this is 1952. So this is, 81 years ago. Is it, are we in the 80s yet, or is it 70, 71? Oh my God. 62, 72, 82, 92, 02, 12, 22. Okay. So this was 71 years ago. And what I find so fascinating is how, both a lot has changed, but not much has changed. Like, we can watch this episode from 71 years ago, and I 100% understand Thanksgiving, leftovers, turkey, you know, like all of that stuff, which it, like, but like 71 years before 1952 is like very different.
I mean, there was Thanksgiving was still new.
Yeah.
It had only been around for about 20 some years.
Yeah, and no one was keeping that turkey. They didn't have refrigerators, did they? No.
They still call it the ice box.
Yes, here. They this do. Oh, and also, my wife ran out to get me a bicarbonate for me.
Yes.
Thank you, Pepto, for coming along. But it is just wild to me that, like, that the traditions of Thanksgiving and stuff haven't changed in 70 years. That, like, I mean, because, okay, what's your relationship with Thanksgiving leftovers?
Thanksgiving leftovers, if now, since my mom is the one who hosts Thanksgiving instead of my grandmother, so she ends up with most of the, or my parents end up with most of the Thanksgiving leftovers. What that means, it has never been, let's take the turkey and turn it into croquettes or hash or fricassee, like they
or talk whip about. It. Isn't there like whipped turkey or creamed turkey at one point, which is like, yeah, that's, no,
they talk about
you.
That. They talk about an upside down turkey pudding, which okay. is, those, I don't know.
Those very have to be jokes, but also 1950s food is wild. So
it is all gelled. No, what we would do is we'd have everything in individual containers, and then we'd make ourselves a plate, usually for breakfast and then maybe for lunch. And that would be stuffing, some vegetable, mashed potatoes, turkey, and we'd heat that up, and then that would be that. How about you? What would yours be?
So also, since my husband is a vegetarian, he does graciously make a turkey breast, like one or two or whatever for me every year. But I mean, I'll eat, first of all, like, I mean, turkey, I can honestly take or leave.
Oh,
I mean, it's fine. Like that, you know, honestly, kind of like, I wish we just had like a bucket of fried chicken or something. Like, why did turkey become the Thanksgiving bird? It was just like, chicken is so good.
We've had Thanksgiving hams along with turkey.
Yeah, that's true.
I myself love ham probably better than turkey.
But I like when the turkey's good, it's good. And I'll make, I think the thing I usually make, this might be weird, is turkey tacos.
Turkey tacos.
Yeah, I'll make turkey tacos. After Thanksgiving, but yeah,
I like that.
I'm basically just like whatever protein I can find, put Mexican blend cheese and put it in a tortilla, and bam, that's a meal.
Oh, that's got to be delicious then.
Whatever protein, baby. But at first, Ozzy is like, I do not want any more turkey because of he has had it with the leftovers racket. I don't, why is it after Thanksgiving, every meal, turkey, turkey, turkey?
So she suggests, Harriet's like, oh, we could make veal. He's like, I don't like veal.
Now make sure dinner is ready. Like, what
I'd
is his
have
job?
Turkey.
Where is he going off to?
Well, he wouldn't be going off to anything probably because
it's Black Friday. He was going to the sales.
It's the day after Thanksgiving. You probably have off of work. You probably have off of school. And then you at least, you know, Saturday and Sunday after that, you know, probably not working. I think he was an ad man.
Probably.
I'm not entirely remember. Like in real life, he was a band leader, then actor, director. But I think in this show, I believe he's in advertising. I'd have to double check that. And I won't.
So then is this like this scene ends with him talking about like he needs to go rake the leaves. That's where he's going
to go rake the leaves. And he needs to get a hammer before he does so. And he goes, oh, he goes into the cabinet. He goes, oh, here's a hammer. And Harry goes, I was only kidding about the veal.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Like he's to kill her.
And even whenever he says I need to rake the leaves, I'm looking for a hammer, and Harriet's response is, well, if you use a hammer, you'll be doing it till July 4th. Like you'll be raking leaves till July 4th, which is also Harriet gets all the punchlines.
She gets the good jokes.
He finds a really tiny hammer though.
So he's kind of like talking and he still says, you know, maybe I do want Thanksgiving leftovers, or the boys want Thanksgiving leftovers. I'll just go along with that, but they don't have any Thanksgiving leftovers. She suggests get some turkey. We'll put it in a salad. He's like, that's a great idea.
Oh, there's a whole like wordplay of like leave and lettuce. Like we'll have leaves and lettuce.
Oh, yeah. He says, well, I'm going to go out rake the leaves. And she goes, that'll make for a pretty poor salad.
Yeah.
All the good jokes. So
he goes out, and what was he trying to do with the rake with that teeny hammer? Like he was just hitting the rake with the teeny
I remember
hammer.
This because rakes had to be nailed to the wood. The wooden dowel. So the only hammer he has is this little tiny one, which you might kind of get with IKEA furniture now. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have a big one, so he's tap 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 the rake into the wooden dowel, and then his neighbor shows up, Thorny,
with a Thor size ham hock or whatever of turkey, like
yeah,
just like eating it, the skin is hanging off of it.
Now Thorny is played by Don DeFore, who did a lot of TV in the 1950s and 60s, but like. The big thing that he was remembered for by a lot of us is he had Don DeFore's Silver Banjo Barbecue restaurant at Disneyland.
Oh,
he was an outside owner, and they ran for many decades Banjo Barbecue.
Why? Why? Who he was, is he?
He was a restaurateur
and an actor.
And an actor.
He was like a Tom Colicchio?
I don't know who that is. I hope he's
Top Chef.
Oh, you're not speaking my language here. If you're talking about an anime person, I'd be like, yeah, cool.
Chef sounds like it could be an anime.
I've watched all of Food Wars, which is an anime about people cooking things so delicious that when someone eats them, all their clothes fly off.
Well, that also happens on Top Chef.
Thorny is like, oh, we're having all this great food. I'm still eating this turkey leg. And then he says, like, Ozzy, why don't you have any leftovers? And he goes, well, Aunt Ellen was the one who bought the food and cooked the food. She is entitled to the leftovers.
Legally, yes.
Legally, yes. There is the unspoken covenant.
He keeps trying to get Ozzy to eat his turkey leg, like shoving it in his face. It's like, dude, like you've been biting on the bone, buddy. Like I'm not going
to
eat.
It's because Don DeFore, the actor, wants people to eat meat. Go to his, you know, in a couple years, he's going to have this barbecue restaurant at Disneyland.
Oh, I bet it's good.
He just wants people to be happy eating meat.
Eventually
Ozzy does get the turkey leg, but not to
doesn't
eat.
He say like there's a little bit of meat down there, like yeah. It's
there's
like
a little
oh.
bit of meat. Oh, it's an inside job.
Yeah.
And then what does he do with the turkey leg? He doesn't eat it. He uses it
to hammer the ring.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, everything comes together. Wait, what happens next?
Have you noticed that the music also is Turkey in the Straw?
Yeah. God, that song.
But yeah, next we're back in the house and Aunt Ellen calls.
Oh, this is the Aunt Ellen scene where she's talking to Harriet, right? Yep. Yeah. Well, and Ellen basically like lets them know, like, I got too much turkey in the icebox. Oh no, the like bridge club is here.
Now I have to whip up some turkey based snacks for the bridge club.
For the rest of the episode, like Ozzy only refers to these presumably elderly women as scavengers. Like that turkey's probably going to all those scavengers.
He has very strong feelings about leftovers. Like
and bridge club players.
And bridge club. He does not care for them. So it seems
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Like, is that Aunt Ellen is, you know, banks closed. You're not getting her leftovers. Yeah.
I do like that at the end of the phone call, like, Harriet says, like, goodbye. But then she says, oh, actually, I think that, you know, we can actually come by and pick up some turkeys. She says a full sentence. And then Ellen's like, okay, goodbye.
She had someone at the door.
You could like, be rude. No, you let heard her say that friend? Whole sentence. Come on. It was great.
I'm not going to say that Aunt Ellen is an underrated performance. She is just,
she's one of Ozzy's girls, right? Later on.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a looker, that Aunt
Ozzy's women's.
We have a little bit of a time shift until literally, just a couple minutes later, Ozzy is reading one of Harriet's magazines.
Oh, right. Yeah. And the boys come in and ask if it's like the latest monster comic, which is like, ooh, I need to look up and see what what Timely published or Atlas published in.
Oh, all the good stuff in 1952.
November 52. So that could be like, Eug, the slug from Jupiter.
All that great Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko kind of stuff.
Kind of wild. Well, and also, so like among the many projects I start and don't finish is I tried to read every Marvel comic in order, which now someone has done. And I have the book on my shelf, All the Marvels by Douglas Wolk. But that also included reading like those early issues of Ant-Man and Iron Man and all that stuff would have like an 8-page Ant-Man story. And then the other 22 pages are just wild, like just almost unbearable first draft monster stories that are just, they're all the same.
I did just look up and see what was being published. Marvel did not really do monster comics in 1952, but you also had like Vault of Horror, you had Eerie, you had Creepy, you had like all those EC titles. Which
was Marvel doing Westerns?
Marvel was doing, apparently Marvel did Monster Crime Comics and the Dandy Monster comic, but I don't know if that was Marvel. That might have been. I don't know. Just a preliminary search. But he's not reading a comic. He's reading a magazine that has recipes for leftovers. And now they want turkey. What do they want?
Yeah. Turkey. When do we want it? Yesterday. Well, we had it yesterday. We want it still today.
I think Ricky also needs a better mic. Ricky is not well mic'd.
No.
I lose like the second half of everything he's saying.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. If we want to use AI for something, let's use it to fix old television and turn it into HD. Ooh. But keep the aspect ratio the same.
If you look out there, they're just about to release Abbott and Costello Show, the second part in beautiful restored HD Blu-ray, coming to a store shelf near you.
Ooh.
Very soon.
No kickbacks yet.
That's where I watched the Haunted House episode.
Oh, yeah.
Where I had the first volume, and it looks gorgeous. All that Joe Besser glory.
Is the next scene the weird two-hander between Ozzy and a preteen girl?
Yes. Nancy Baker, who it does not live next door, must be a friend of David's.
Yeah, they have a long talk about Turkey. Was it end on? It ends on them saying the same line together as if they are both like equals, which is just really, this is a very weird scene.
Yeah.
But she has high status almost along with him.
Yeah. He's playing very low status in the entire yeah. show. Is that he is alternately wanting Turkey and expressing that desire, or wanting Turkey and, pretending to talk about something else,
or he does kind of pretend that he's better than the people who want Turkey. I mean, maybe not better, yeah. But like he's trying to pretend like he's like, I am over this, I don't want this,
where all of his actions scream, you're not over this, this is what you want.
Just like after I came out of the closet 18 years ago today, and then about a week from a week 18 years ago to in a week, I was like, you know what? No. Much like Ozzy with Turkey, I was with men. So
you were a gourmand or trencher man.
Oh yeah.
There's
a horse.
There's a little bit of weird like wordplay where he says, now he says to Nancy Baker, the young girl on the bike, he says, I was not hungry, and now I'm talking about Turkey like a gourmand. And she says, what? He goes, like a trencher man. And she goes, what? And he goes, I could eat like a horse. And that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And they talk about recipes that Nancy's mom makes with turkey. And there's just so many different things. She lists them all off. And Ozzy says, by the time you're done with that, Thanksgiving's here again.
Ba-da-bum. And I think she's the one that says creamed turkey or whatever.
Yeah. Cold turkey, turkey hash, turkey croquettes.
Ugh.
But Ozzy still blames the boys because he was going over to the Thornberries, the neighbors, Thorny, to beg some turkey off them. Please, sir, can I have some turkey? Please, but he keeps blaming, oh, the boys are the ones that want the turkey. I don't want the turkey. It's the boys. Verda.
I don't want the turkey. You want the turkey. Just turns into like a Robert De Niro monologue.
At some point he starts eating his tie. That's I don't know.
Oh, because it's brown. And he's like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what is he goes to the source. This is like, you know.
Oh yeah, he goes straight to the butcher.
He goes to the butcher.
Which is also, I mean, he does kind of point out, hey man, it's like the day after Thanksgiving. I do not have any turkey.
Yeah, the butcher knows what's up. He suggests veal. It tastes just like turkey.
Does it really?
I can't even remember the last time I had veal.
Is veal... What is veal? Veal's deer.
Is calf.
No, calf. Okay, yeah, it was like baby cow. Venison is deer.
Why don't
we just call it deer? And why don't we just call it calf?
Why do they call it mutton?
I guess we have cow as beef.
He says, hey, I could get you some ground round. And Ozzy says, does that taste like turkey? He says, no, it tastes like veal. So I don't know why this butcher's like, I'll sell you the cheaper stuff. Do you like cheaper stuff? It's like,
well, no. Nowadays, see, this is where I kept trying to compare, like, what would this episode be like now? If there was a bizarre money wasted show that just recreated Ozzy and Harriet's scripts, but set in modern times. It's like, would you, I guess Ozzy would probably be on Postmates or TaskRabbit trying to hire someone to find Turkey for him is probably, yeah. It made me think about like, man, I kept going and did like deep places where I was like, God, yeah, back then, like you would have a relationship with your butcher, you know, like you had relationships with all of these specialists that have now been replaced by Amazon or something, and therefore have siloed us all off, and therefore made us like not connect with each other. You want to talk about a divide in our country? Blame Walmart.
Well, if you think about it, I'm sure that you could probably get a turkey the day after Thanksgiving at a grocery store nowadays, because the day of Thanksgiving, they have an entire cooler still full of them.
Well, yeah, and also like our turkeys are like smaller now and probably like genetically enhanced. And
but we don't, we, the whole point of supermarkets is that you don't run out of things like you did with a butcher. You will go
unless
there,
you live in New York.
Unless you live in New York. And
in
you
New
know,
York, it's like, I went to New York. I live here. And I had to go get some eggs for Seb. And I was like, well, let me get some frozen pizzas. And I went to the DiGiorno section and they just had like supreme four cheese. Okay, cool. Whereas if you go to like a, if you go to a supermarket literally anywhere else in the country, it's like, here are 14 different kinds of DiGiorno's pizzas. Anyway, that's
the joy of living in suburbia. I'd say is that when we lived in Queens, there was a Key Foods there. It was the largest Key Foods in the area. It was also terrible.
Yeah.
Like you would not be, they'll be like, oh no, we don't have any Diet Coke, but we just got more octopus in.
Yeah.
Do you want sausage? Oh, we don't have sausage. We have three different brands of Scrapple.
Yeah.
Like we'll have that. And like, you know, do you want yogurt? We have one brand of yogurt, but we have an entire section we call Sunny D Corner, which is just different colors of Sunny D. It was the worst. It's still probably is. I can go down the street to the Stop and Shop or the Acme. And if I want a turkey, I'll be able to buy a turkey.
But what have we lost? Everyone,
I can't find octopus to save my life. You know,
I can. He's in Spider-Man No Way Home.
So we go to Thorny. He's like, I'm gonna go over to Thorny's and I'm gonna hat in hand beg for some turkey. And he's like, we don't have any leftovers, but we do have some veal that we could dress up like turkey. I do love the running gag of veal is just as good as turkey.
It's kind of like a huge slam on anteaters out of nowhere.
I know.
Sorry. Overdrawn at the memory bank.
Oh, that's a great movie. That's
but
a great
I think about
Science
that line
theory.
All the time. This is not an anteater. Okay. but then Harriet does get an idea. Is this when Harriet gets the idea of like, oh, wait, no. Like, and then Thorny's like, well, don't tell him that I told you to try to pass off. I mean, if you make them into croquettes, what are croquettes?
Croquettes are, it's just like a chicken finger almost. It's like, it's breaded. It's like ground up, breaded, and then you put some kind of sauce on it.
Yeah, isn't that just the way though? Called croquettes in the 50s. Then we just call them fingers.
Chicken fingers.
Like, there's no class, no culture.
So she serves them veal croquettes, or so they think.
The kids love it. They all think it's turkey.
They think it's turkey. The Ozzy eats 57 of them, which I think is an exaggeration. That's a lot.
Yeah, especially because if he was complaining about being so full from yesterday. But he also, I guess he hasn't had any food that day on Friday. And then he's like, then after the kids leave, he says like lovely veal croquette. Like he reveals to Harriet, he reveals to Harriet, like, I knew these were veal all along.
Turkey snob.
And then she, of course, has the last laugh.
In the M. Night Shyamalan twist, it was turkey all along because she went over to Aunt Ellen's and got her turkey because Bridge Club was another night, or no, sorry,
it was at another person's house, and the person that had showed up was giving her a ride.
Yes. So the turkey, all that leftover turkey. Now I want turkey. And of course, Ozzy is upset about it because he's like, oh, if I'd known it was turkey, I would have enjoyed it more. Like, you thought you enjoyed it just well enough, asshole.
I was waiting for another layer of switch. I'm like, nah, it was actually veal.
It's actually thorny. Ah, we killed him.
That's Twilight Zone.
That'd be pretty good. And then later he goes to the fridge and gets more turkey. Yes, because then Nancy Baker, remember that little girl who drove by?
Yeah.
She gave leftovers to the family. Suddenly he's like, oh no, now we have so much turkey. Knock on the door. Knock, knock, knock. This is the part that blew my mind. The difference between now and then. The person at the door is the butcher.
Yeah.
Knows where they live. He says, I went to every store in town and got this turkey for you. Gives him the turkey. Walks out. There's no money exchange. There's no invoice. It's just, have this turkey. We will figure out how you pay me later.
I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, he probably has a running tab.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and, like, probably has all their addresses written down in, like, cursive writing and a little notebook. A little
black notebook.
Again, if it wasn't for the, you know, having to be completely closeted and married to a woman whose heart I will ultimately break, I would love to live back.
And then there's one last scene. There's one last scene. Because while the butcher's at the front door, Thorny comes in the back door with a live turkey.
Okay, so two things. First of all, he's like, look what came in the back door. Is just like, okay, well, that would be a joke.
Silver
now.
Banjo.
Heyo. But then also, so like one of my favorite things about Thanksgiving episodes is anytime they bring a live turkey into the mix because turkeys are crazy.
Yeah.
Turkeys are just inherently like such a ridiculous and unpredictable animal. And it is so funny. Like Thanksgiving's all about like coming together and we're family and it's like peaceful and stuff. And then here's this fucking like raptor of chaos. So like there's a Brooklyn Nine-Nine one where there's a turkey caught in a bedroom and it's like the entire cast versus this turkey. There's a Murphy Brown one. There's an episode of Alice where there's like multiple turkeys, I think, that are all alive. And there's a Mama's Family episode with a live turkey. So it's a trope that I love. And so I like seeing a little bee turkey.
Well, Benjamin Franklin, one of them is the national bird.
Thank
you. If you recall that.
Thank you, Benji.
I would say that the only gag that doesn't translate verbally is the turkey. Turkey. But the rest of this episode, turn off the video, listen to it. It could be, you know, it could be a podcast.
Well, I guess also you could, if the turkey would just like, look what he got. Gobble, 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 gobble.
Yeah, like, that would work too.
Yeah. Because also turkeys sound insane.
Well, my parents have them around their house in Pennsylvania. And the interesting one is when they'd come around on Thanksgiving, where my mom would be preparing a turkey and preparing all the food. And then this crowd of turkeys just struts through the yard as the, you know, the superior turkeys that have not been farm raised and killed.
Uh-huh. Another year.
Ha ha. What a poor chap.
Oh my God.
Turkey for months. I was thinking that like, how many of these 1950s shows would translate so well to radio because they were based off radio shows?
Yeah, I mean, I Love Lucy was based off a radio show.
Yeah, Life of Riley was based off a radio show. Abbott and Costello, so many of them were. This is 1952. I think we're only like 3 or 4 years out from the first TV sitcoms.
Yeah, I mean, this is early. Well, I Love Lucy is, I think, I Love Lucy's in season two, I think. For this,
yeah,
because I found in the newspapers I found them talking about her giving birth, which was season two. But so it's like, you know, like what a sitcom is doesn't like it comes from radio. Like at this time, I'm guessing situation comedy is whatever. If you had a radio show before, that's a sitcom.
That's true. That's what a lot of them were.
Most shows either involve comes from radio or Arthur Godfrey. And we're about to find that out. Are you ready for must have facts?
Hit them.
So no idea how many people watched this episode, because as we said earlier, this weirdly flew under the radar in the ratings. So, you know, big question mark there. Not in the top 30. No. I'm wondering if it's because people were listening on the radio and were like, I don't need to see them. We can hear them.
Or they didn't have televisions.
Yeah.
That was probably part of it too. They didn't crack the top 30 until I'm going to say the mid 60s when they were right about to go off the air.
It's probably that sentimentality, but like bump of like, oh yeah. Man, remember, like, yeah.
Ozzie and Harriet, they're still going. Because I think mid 60s, a lot of people were reacting against them as being a fossil, a relic of a previous age. 14 years ago, the show, you know, you've been on the air for 14 years. Ricky Nelson is a teen heartthrob, kind of like on his, you know, on the other side of his career.
Yeah.
The big thing about Ricky Nelson is that he continued to make music through the 1950s into the 60s. And there was a big rock concert, an oldies rock concert at Madison Square Garden. And he was invited to perform. And he's like, oh, cool. I have this great career. And he's playing with all these, you know, all these other acts that are only doing oldies at this point. And he's like, I'm just going to play my latest stuff. And the audience is like, oh, he's not playing, you know, he's not playing the things that I like. He's not playing I'm Walking. He's not playing Poor Little Fool or Traveling Man or Hello, Mary Lou. So he had like a very bad experience because he wasn't playing his oldies. And then he ended up dying, unfortunately, in a plane fire.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I knew it was a plane something.
Yeah. There was, I don't know if it crashed. I'd have to check that. There's a toxic smoke in the plane and it killed him and his wife.
Oh, God.
But the pilot survived.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Right. Anyway, so the top five shows.
Yeah. I don't know. The truth, the facts are unvarnished.
The facts are sad. Nasty. Show's fun. The number five was Texaco Star Theater, which honestly, one day I do. Just out of curiosity, I want to see if I can watch an episode of all of these different variety shows and be like, how does Texaco Star differ from Schlitz Playhouse? You know,
next season's just variety shows.
Yeah. Number four, Dragnet. Number three, Arthur Godfrey and His Friends. Number two, Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts, which made me wonder if back in 1952, if people just called it, hey, you watching His Friends tonight? But I am going to tune into Talent Scouts. Love Talent Scouts. Like, do they just like abbreviate it, or
you going to watch Arthur Godfrey tonight? Which one, Smarty?
Boom. And then number one, of course, was the I Love Lucy. The ABC Friday night lineup was the Stu Irwin Show, followed by The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Then I think local programming, because it was impossible to find like two newspapers that had the same thing on in this time slot. It was all of this was all over the map. The 1952, they did not know how to report on television because it was a new thing.
Yeah.
Go look up some articles on TikTok 5 years ago. You get the drift. And then after that was Tales of Tomorrow. So now we've come to the choice. What are you watching? On ABC, we have The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. The Nelsons talk cold turkey on the day after Thanksgiving. On CBS, we got Mama, which Katrin, first of all, her name is Katrin. K-A-T-R-I-N.
Katrin. I like that.
Katrin. Katrin thinks her family so middle class when she meets socialite.
Oh.
On NBC, we have the RCA Victor Show starring Dennis Day. Dennis Day winds up being father by proxy and building caretaker. It's like the title sounds like it's a variety show. And then I don't know what that synopsis is. And then there's also the Dumont Network, which I have no clue what was on because the listings were madness. So couldn't figure it out. Are you watching Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, Mama, or the RCA Victor show starring Dennis Day?
I'm probably watching Mama.
Oh, you want to see Katrin.
Mama has a Mama, I want to say, is one of the oldest, because I believe it was from 1949 or 1948. Yeah. So
it's like in season four at this point.
So. Yeah. So I have a longer relationship with Mama.
And I know Mama. You've been enjoying Mama.
So I wonder if Mama's even available now. Like, you know, the only one who ever talks about it is us.
Who is this Dennis Day person?
It's not the Mel. Wait,
he was a Mouseketeer. Wait, oh, no. Wait,
no, he couldn't have been.
Yeah, no, but there is a Mouseketeer named.
Yes.
Okay. People also ask, was Dennis Day ever found?
Is this the Mouseketeer who was? Oh, he disappeared, but they found his body in his house or something like that.
Okay, so there's Dennis Day, who was an American actor, comedian, and singer, born in 1916, and then there's Dennis Day Mouseketeer, who was born in 1942. So,
what's the
Day disappeared in July 2018 and was found dead several months later. A roommate was charged with his death in 2019. Wow, yeah, yep. That's the Mouseketeer.
Okay, yes.
So he, that's a totally different Dennis Day than the Jesus Christ. Well, but that Dennis Day had 10 kids.
The Dennis Day Mouseketeer, was gay.
Oh,
and he came out at the age of 18.
Oh, wow. Does he have an autobiography?
I don't know. Does he have a, I don't know.
Also, fun fact, Dennis Day, the old Dennis Day, he was on Jack Benny's radio show, and he took the place of another tenor, Kenny Baker. But not that Kenny Baker.
Not the R2-D2 Kenny.
Not
Baker.
R2-D2. But
everybody they only had five names back then. He just had to share them with somebody else.
I'm watching. Oh, I mean, I might be watching Mama. To be honest,
I'll probably be watching Mama.
Now, I just wanted to share. Let me see if I can actually share the screen. That's fun. Oh Jesus! Oh God! Oh no! Okay.
I'm looking it up. Mama ran from 1949 until March 17th, 1957. It was the story of a loving Norwegian family living in San Francisco in the 1910s.
Why?
But it also starred Dick Van Patten.
Oh, right. So here's some turkey.
Oh, hey.
Hey, turkey. So the Chicago Tribune, this is Thanksgiving 1952. I was just like, did newspapers definitely had recipes. For how to do turkey or leftovers. Expert shows you step by step how to carve your turkey.
Graphic detail.
All these photos of someone.
Names or faces will be shown.
Just hands. And so there was like a turkey leftovers contest. And this was the winning recipe that won $50. And it was Spanish turkey in potato cups. Spanish turkey in potato cups.
That
sounds
good.
And let me see what. So yeah, it makes four servings. So saute onion and green pepper and butter for 5 minutes. Add flour and blend. Add tomato sauce, seasonings, and mushrooms. Bring to boiling point. Add turkey and olives. Heat through. Mix potatoes, butter, and egg. And whip with electric mixer until fluffy. Shape into four nests on a buttered baking sheet, or place in four individual casseroles or one large. Fill hollows with turkey mixture, bake in moderate oven for 20 minutes. I don't know. That doesn't sound that bad.
It sounds really good, actually.
Okay. We should try some Spanish turkey in potato cups.
Is the Spanish part just the mix of onion and green pepper?
Yeah, probably.
because the seasonings they're talking about are flour, salt, and pepper.
Yeah, and it was submitted by Mrs. Evelyn Saunders. Not a very Spanish name.
Of the Chicago Saunders.
Of the Chicago. 2734 Mildred Avenue. And then there's the $25 prize recipe went to the turkey puff. Serve with or without a sauce. Cook spaghetti in boiling salted water until tender. Drain. Yeah, I don't know. Spaghetti and turkey. Fold in egg whites. Turn into a butter pan. Yeah, thank you, Miss Raymond Swanson. Yeah, so they, I don't know. Here's the so many ideas.
Yeah, I'm looking at 2734 North Mildred Avenue right now, and it is an apartment building.
Oh,
a very nice neighborhood in Chicago.
Her ghost haunts it.
The things we can do with technology.
And then there's also the turkey skillet teasers.
That only won $10.
Only won $10, which is probably $100 nowadays. but yeah, I don't know. This is just a bunch of kitchen pointers, just a whole bunch of fun stuff.
I will say that watching this episode did make me very hungry for turkey leftovers and Thanksgiving foods.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming up. Only just a couple months.
Whether we like
a couple months, couple weeks.
Yeah. Who had the rating? On IMDb, 28 people rated this a 7.5. Higher, lower?
I say that's fair. That's 7.5 works for me.
Yeah, I mean 7.4. 7.3.
Yeah, I mean this didn't bowl me over, but it was still very entertaining. There was no dead air. Everyone was talking constantly.
Yeah. Well, and I also say you got to fear doing the 50s episodes. Now that I've made it to where we have to do one every fifth episode, just because you never know what you're going to get.
We knew what we were going to get with Life with Luigi.
Yeah. Well, that was the 50s. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the 50s
thing. Yeah. It was much more cultured in the 60s. Like they totally solved a lot of problems. Must-see performance for me goes to Harriet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either her or Thorny.
Thorny's good.
I like Thorny. He's kind of nondescript neighborly fellow. But, you know, Harriet did get all the good jokes.
I'm trying to think of other times that we've seen an adult man as the weird next door neighbor. I guess Wilson on Home Improvement.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Because it's usually like a teenager or
Flintstones?
Oh, and I guess Empty Nest. Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Married with Children.
Yeah. Okay. So there are a lot. Whatever.
Yeah.
And
your must theory does not hold water, sir.
Oh, Jesus. Must other people see this episode for Thanksgiving? That's... Is this a good, because it's the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. This is a great episode for Thanksgiving, for the time and the place. This is a fine episode. It makes you want food. This could be shown every year by the National Association of Turkey Farmers, and this would increase sales
and really just like encourage you to make all these recipes. Turkey for
buy a second turkey,
whipped turkey, turkey a la mode,
turkey a la king.
Now, I will say the episode that is going to definitely be a must for other people is the one we're doing next week that I've already decided, because it hit me that it's the 60s and it's a Thanksgiving episode, and I haven't done it yet. But That Girl, Thanksgiving comes but once a year, I hope, or something like that. One of my favorite Thanksgiving episodes ever. And I was like, oh, my God, we're just hitting right in
time. It's perfect. It is perfect.
To do it. Oh, God. And then we get a 70s and 80s Christmas, and maybe 90s.
Depends on on the recording schedule. Yeah.
Yeah. But and I'm also like, we only did two for Halloween, and I'm not doing more Thanksgiving episodes than Halloween episodes.
Well, you know.
This is the third. This is the third ranked holiday for me.
Yeah, I'd say that nationally, it probably, for people getting together, I'd say it's probably the third or fourth. people get together for Thanksgiving. We're planning on it. My family's getting together for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and I don't do anything. That's why.
Can always come with us.
Distance.
Can always come with us. It's an open invitation.
We will be watching the parade, etc. Okay. And oh Jesus. Yeah, that is, I think, everything about, you know, we're getting into Thanksgiving times. And Ethan, where can people find you on the internet to talk about their favorite turkey leftovers?
You can find me on Instagram, EthanK55, or even look me up at LinkedIn.
Apparently it's popping. Is it popping?
It's not. I don't know. I go there when someone friends me, and it's never anyone I know. The only people we have in common are recruiters. And I'm like, okay, you own an AI business out of like Oregon. I don't care. Thank you.
Man. Oh, well, people can find me.
Yeah. Where can we find you?
People can find me, you know, Instagram, Twitter at Brett White. You can follow my drag exploits at Barb Hardly, where on YouTube I am trying to do reviews of Hallmark movies as Barb. So I've done two so far, a minute each. Does that justify the 3 hours it takes to get into drag? If you do a bunch at once, yeah.
If we were recording yesterday, we could have done a Barb, Ozzy and Harriet, but things happened.
My arm still hurts from washing a wig. Like, I don't know. Just like the holding it while you're like running through and God, it really hurts. Anyway. Yeah. And everyone else, please rate and review on iTunes. Say hi on YouTube. You know, say hi everywhere, anywhere, et cetera. You know, I just want to hang out. You know,
we love mail. You guys are great.
We love you, baby. And thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Thanks to everybody for listening and also watching. We'll see how many Ozzy and Harriet fans there are on YouTube. Probably a lot. Weirdly, I'm sure. See you next time on Must Have Seen TV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.